I'm thanking you for tuning in today, and we invite you to continue seeking the Lord through consistent hearing and studying of the Word of God. Through Bethel Deliverance International Church, we have established the Bethel Institute for Biblical Studies to help believers get a complete curriculum for Christian development. We offer classes from Bible basics to apologetics. We have exceptional instructors and courses that will ensure growth in biblical studies and Christian character. If you desire to develop and mature in your Christian knowledge and your life in the Word of God, we invite you to pursue your Christian education here at the Bethel Institute for Biblical Studies. You can visit the education link at betheldeliverance.org for a full course listing and to register online. For more information, you may call 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The scriptures teach us in Mark chapter 11, it's a very popular passage, and I feel the need to go over it and rehearse it again and again until there is substantive change in our unconscious mind. Most of us in ministry preach to your conscious mind, whereas in order for the word to be effective, we must replace some of those old thought patterns that have been developing over years of exposure. Your mind is not your brain. Your brain is like the engine of a car. It drives everything. Every component under the hood drives everything in that car. The batteries take care of the power issues. The engine takes care of the power to move. The master cylinder is under the hood. Everything that drives the car is under the hood. That's what your brain is. Your mind is the conglomeration of what's been fed to you and how you act on it. You have a conscious mind, which is what you see at the moment, what you understand at the moment, and what you deal with at the moment that occupies 3% of your mind. 97% of your mind is a slave to your past. That's why nothing new can get through without conflict. And we'll make statements such as, look, I'm standing on this. I know I ain't wrong. It's my experience. This is what I believe. But it's all based on what somebody else told you. Even your ideology about yourself is based on what someone else told you. The child who grew up in an atmosphere of, baby, you're going to be anything you can be. You are great. You are a king. You are this, that, and the other. You are just fantastic. They grew up to be great, fantastic, and owning the company. Those children who grew up, you ain't nothing, never going to be nothing. You're as bad as your dad. All the men in his family were no good, are going to grow up being no good. Why? Was there a magic spell? Yes, it's called words. And until we learn how to speak, we will be slaves to our unconscious mind. Your thoughts about God were formed by other people who had no experiences that you had. Oh, he a way maker. He ever make a way for you? No. Most of us never had to have him make a way because we got people in our lives who make ways. Never had to depend on God because there's always somebody else doing for us. And we panic when that person says, I ain't doing it no more. What? What am I going to do? But you said he was a way maker. You got him testify. When we had testimony, so, I thank God he's a way maker. He's a heavy load sharer. He's a burden bearer. Hallelujah. And God says, all right, tell that person, don't help them no more. Let's see if they believe with that. No, praise God. See, that's what's wrong with the people. They don't want to help. Church don't want to help you. But you said the Lord was your way maker. See, somebody told you he was a way maker. You never had him make a way for you. He's a healer. You never had him heal. You walking around right now. If you opened up your purse, ladies, and went in that purse right now, there would be Advil, Percocet. There would be Oxycontin. And if you have teenagers, there would be Prozac and Equinil and lithium in there as well. And if you're married, you have a fifth of scotch. He's a healer. Yeah, he's a healer. As long as I got these Advil, he a healer. As long as I got this extra strength, arthritis strength, 1,000 milligrams, a Tylenol. He's a healer. And so here Jesus tries to teach us something in Mark 11 that we will never get unless we sit together and provoke one another to excellence. I cannot understand why he goes over this again and again with us. The most powerful part of your body is your tongue. It is the only thing that the Bible says death and life are contained in. He doesn't say death and life are in your fist. He doesn't say it's in any other part of your body. He says death and life are in your tongue. We spend hours on our hair. We spend days on our physical appearance. We go to massage spas. We go get pedicures, manicures. We get haircuts. We get everything to make this look good and do nothing to perfect our speech. We're still speaking like losers, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. The Lord challenged me one day when I turned 30. The Lord challenged me, and I started thinking, you know, when you turn 30, I start thinking, well, you know, certain things are supposed to happen. And the Lord said, who told you that's supposed to happen? I said, well, everybody that's been there told me it's supposed to happen. He said, I never told you that's supposed to happen. He said, I never told you that your body has to succumb to age. I never told you that. He said, I told you that I guarantee you 70 and 10. And if you keep it strong, I'll give you another 10 as a reward for you going to the gym and taking care of your body. Why is it that 90 years of life are acceptable over in the Ural Mountains in Eastern Russia? That they just expect to die 95 and 100. But here, we expect by the time you reach 60, well, I done got old now. Well, you know, praise God. And then we say things like, kids gonna kill me. You getting on my nerves. I can't take this no more. And where's all this negativity coming from? It's stored in your unconscious mind because that's what you heard. Okay, do you think that turns off when you become a Christian? No, you just switch subjects. Now it's, I don't know what God is doing. I don't know why he's letting me go through this. I don't know why he don't tell me what to do. I don't know why he don't. What do you mean? I cried to him and he didn't answer me. Let me see if I got this right. You cried to him when you were in trouble. Yeah. And he didn't answer me. Are you still in the trouble? No. Did it work out? Yeah. But he didn't answer. Excuse me. He did answer. Mark 11, it says in verse 20, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance, says, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. What does that mean? If I were to do that, all right, how many of you have faith in God? We would raise our hands because we don't want anybody to think we don't have faith. I don't want the person sitting next to me to think I don't have faith. I really don't, but I don't want you to think it. Well, I got faith in God. Yes, I do. How do you know I got faith in God? I got it. Well, how do you know you have it? I got it. You got faith in your husband? I got faith in my husband. Do you pick up his cell phone when it rings? See who it is? Yeah, you have no faith. I just gotta make sure. You see your wife speaking to somebody in church and they just, hey, bruh, sis, how you doing? Praise the Lord, how you doing? And you standing at the door when you get in the car, who's that? You don't have no faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. What does that mean? You can't isolate this passage. Just like you can't isolate, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. You have to tie in the principles, the preceding passages. Paul said, I've learned to be content. You can't trust God to supply your needs until you learn how to be content. Because when you learn how to be content, then you'll understand that what I have is what God knows I needed to have. And if I don't need it, I don't have it. So therefore, I shouldn't be reaching for what I don't have. I should be content with what I have and the position that I'm in and stop worrying about what I don't have because I use a lot of mental energy worrying about things I can't control. Do you know your greatest struggle is trying to get people to change and you don't possess the ability to get people to change? Do you know why we want people to change? So we can say we were instrumental in helping them change. The young preacher out in Oklahoma that shifted his doctrine to something that was completely weird. Everybody and his cousin tried to talk to him to get him to change. Why? I watched the movie that he made, and I said, this is stupid. This is really stupid. The guy doesn't believe that anybody's going to hell. Okay, fine. Why should I sweat it? They're pulling him in at meetings and trying to convince him. Listen, when a person rejects the word of God, you can't convince them. You just want to make yourself look good. All them guys getting together and all these bishops sitting there and trying to be, you know, theological with him. He's already drawn a conclusion. It's like the evangelist who said that God told him to get a $54 million plane. So what? Why does it offend you? He shouldn't be asking for that. Why? He said his supporters. If you're not a supporter, why do you care? Why are you all upset? Go on to Facebook. This is a charlatan. See, talking about if Jesus was here, he'd have a plane. Who cares? You got to stay in your lane. You worrying about all these people who go around saying they want their supporters to give them a plane. What do you care? Listen, I'm not asking anybody that's not of Bethel to help us build our church. Why? Why? They don't go here. I ain't sending out letters to folks who just visit and aren't part of our family. You see, what we do is we get so upset about things that don't matter. You get upset because God may have told somebody, wear green for the next four Sundays. Just wear lime green for the next four Sundays. Like the brother from Nigeria right here. I didn't even see you sitting there because you're behind the column. And the Lord may say, wear that every Sunday. You look at them, what they got that on for? Trying to call attention to themselves. That's not your business. What do you care? Or are you jealous that you can't wear it and look as good as they do? You see, so our motivations come into question. Our anger, when we talk about having faith in God, we don't have faith in God. We have faith that God will do what I want. Faith in God. Look, we were going to get this building down the street, and I had a figure in mind. The figure that I had was the same price we paid for our other building. I said, because that's what we had, and that's what we were able to pay. And he sat down at the table and said, $600,000. And I said, no. Because I had God's figure in mind. He came back later with a lower figure. I said, no. Because that ain't God's figure. I had faith. He came back to the table through his realtor and said, here's my final number. I said, no. It ain't God's number. I went back to God, and he said, yep, that's my number. I said, wait a minute. I said, I believed you to get this guy to lower it. He said, I did. I brought it from 600,000 to that number. I said, wait a minute. Hold on here. I said, the other number we could pay for. He said, you can pay for that one. You just didn't look beyond that number. I said, well, why do you want me to pay this number? He said, because you're getting ready to build a $7 million church, and if you don't stretch your faith in one acquisition, you'll never get $7 million. Lord, my ways are not your ways. And so next Thursday, we go to settlement and pay cash. Watch this. We ain't even going to settlement. It's all going to be handled over computer with electronic. Because the lawyer said, you ain't getting no mortgage, so why does everybody have to come up to the conference room? Just do it and get it over with. The point I'm making to you is, see, when you have faith in God, doesn't mean it has to be your way. I remember a story as a child about the ugly duckling. You remember that story? And everybody, you know, they kind of pushed him aside because he was kind of dark-skinned and he didn't look as pretty as the rest of the swans. And everybody was ignoring him and they were hanging with the, you know, the pretty Rickies and they were pushing him away. But then as he grew and evolved, he became the best-looking swan. You see, God may direct you to somebody or something that don't look as good as what you thought. But if you trust him, he'll turn your ugly duckling into a swan. If you trust him. Have faith in God. Do you have faith in God? What does that mean? Oh, God's going to give me everything I want. God's going to give me. That's not having faith in God. Faith in God is when God tells you to take what you have and give it to somebody else. Everybody has receiving faith. Do you have giving faith? And I'm not talking about giving to the church. I'm talking about giving to somebody else. Some of us don't even have enough faith to give a guy 50 cents for a cup of coffee, and that really won't buy a cup of coffee. But I believe God. Jesus goes on in his teaching, and he says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to the mountain," notice the whosoever, this is critical. Because the principle that he is about to instruct us in, this principle works for sinners as well as saints. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when you understand that kingdom principles are not reserved solely for Christians. If you remember when Jesus completed his Sermon on the Mount, he walks down the mountain and the first people that encounter him are lepers. And they say to him, "If you will, you can make us clean." He says, "I will." Number one, you need to know that God wills to heal you. God wills to deliver you. Don't accept. I wish I could. Doggone it. Don't accept minor physical conditions and then look for God to heal the major ones. You are not going to develop major league faith until it's been perfected in the minors. When David confronted Goliath, he did not have a giant story to give to the giant. What he had was a lion and bear story. The lion and bear story gave him the assurance to confront the giant. And so the scripture says, don't despise the small things that you're going through. Now, the devil likes to squeeze you in small areas to see if you will capitulate. But if you have faith in God, the faith that God gives you can deliver you from a small thing so that when you run into a big thing, it'll just fall off you. You are struggling with the big thing because you didn't use faith in the small thing. I refuse to give the devil any ground in small things. I refuse to allow him to fill my mind with negative thoughts, negative words, and negative people. I refuse. Because the price that you pay from negativity is sickness, disease, anxiety, depression. And I choose to live above that foolishness. I am going to say what God says so I can be what God says I am to be. Now you get yourself together and stop hanging around the naysayers. Unbelievers are walking in this truth greater than we are. Greater than we are. Ted Turner's father told him, "Son, don't reach for a goal that you can achieve. Reach for greater goals." Then this young boy turns around and becomes the purchaser and owner of TBS, Turner Broadcasting System. He did not give him a Christian principle. He gave him a kingdom principle. What do you tell your children? Get out of school and get a job. Get a job. You get so happy when they get a job. Get a job. And that's all they're going to be relegated to is a job. They won't go anywhere in life because they got a job. They have friends who have jobs. And they all hang out together with their jobs. And they talk about their jobs. And they die in their jobs. And the powers that be keep you in your job. And they don't want you to aspire for anything else. They want you to stay in your job. And we've become so job doomed that when someone says, I'm going to school, what you going to school for? You too old. Why do you need to study this? You ought to just be happy you got a job. And so all your life, you're going to have a job. So one day you can retire from your job and still be broke because you had a job. And you rejoice when God gives you a job. Now, others who are not Christians, they have businesses that give you your jobs because you don't think you can get one. And when you aspire to one, someone will tell you why it won't work. Then what you need to do is get around people who have made it work. I'm done. All right, Lord, watch your mouth, son. Watch your mouth. Okay, y'all getting this. I ain't never saying no more you don't get this. You getting it. In order for me to change my unconscious mind, I need to replace it with the words of those in victory. Not one thing in this Bible did God ever say you couldn't do except anything without him. That's the only thing he says you can't do, for without me, you can do nothing. Well, the antithesis would be with me, I can do. That's what Paul said over in Philippians. So why are you sitting here in misery when you ought to be walking in joy? Why do you get frustrated when someone stands up to rejoice with the things that I say and you say they're disturbing you? No, they're not disturbing you. They are pushing you and you're afraid to go because you like the misery. Oh, but I want people around me. Have faith in God. Number one, what does God want me to be? What does he want me to be? What does God want me to be? Number one, his child. Now, I don't think you get it. Yes, you do. I'm sorry. You get it. Do you understand the principle here? When you are his child, that means you are his responsibility, which means how many of you have children? How many of you have children that live in your home? How many of you have children that eat? Okay, watch this. How many of you that have children that live in your home that eat, have they ever come to you and said, can I eat? What do they say? I want to eat. What is there to eat? Is it all right if I get that? They know you got it. They know you got food. They see you schlepping in those bags. They never offer to help. But they see you bringing it in. Well, if I look in this Bible, I see that God's got healing. I see that God's got provision. I see that God has deliverance. I see that God has everything I need. And if he's my daddy, then I should be going to him saying, give me mine. I shouldn't be going up saying, oh, God, do you have anything to eat? No, I don't go up there and say, do you have any healing? I say, no, healing is my bread. God, I walk in this healing. I don't even need you. I don't even need to ask that you heal me. I just thank you for doing it because you're my daddy. These principles, sinners are capitalizing on them. They're capitalizing on them. And we're becoming bitter. Christians are becoming bitter. Why should they get all the opportunities? Why should they get all the breaks? Because they take the chances. You know ideas have flowed through your head and your mind, but you didn't act on it. And then somebody turns around and does it, and you get mad at them. And you can always tell the bitter person, I had that idea.
I had that idea back in 1972, but you ain't do nothing with it. What do you think? God is supposed to stop forward progress because we don't think we can? No, this is where you got to get around people. I've told you this before. Science says that nightingales are born with one note, singing one note. But the nightingale is one of the most beautiful songbirds you'll ever hear. But they are born singing one note. The rest of the notes they get from hanging out. When they hang with other nightingales, they pick up notes from everybody else. They steal them. I'll see if anybody hear me. You ought to be stealing somebody else's praise. You ought to hang around praise people until you get a new praise. Everybody has a praise, but you need to get another praise. And the only way to get that is to hang around praisers. It's to be around people of like mind. Whosoever. But you ever notice, sit down. You ever notice how you hang around complaining people and you pick up complaining? You were feeling good before they came in for counseling. That's why I cut that counseling stuff way down. I don't care if folk mad. Can I see the pastor? No, he ain't busy. I mean, he ain't available. No, I need to talk to you. No, you don't. I'm sitting in there watching God move. Folks are getting healed. I'm praying for people, and the Spirit of God is opening up a new way. And here it comes. I'm here for my 3:00. What is it? I'm just not sure. I'm saved. You could have talked to one of the deacons about that. Why you need to sit? They could have sat with you and helped you through this spiritual wilderness. So I sit there, what is it? Why don't you feel safe? Because the devil fighting me. Oh, okay. Well, then here's what you need to do. You need to understand that the enemy will fight you because you're saved. Really? Yes. Really, Pastor? Yes. So that means I am? Yes. So I can stand now? Yes. So I really didn't need to come see you? No. You read your Bible. As long as Moses was on the mountain, he was all right. In the book of Numbers, it said he walked among the people and he heard those people. And he went back and said, this is how you're going to deal with me. Kill me. Kill me. Don't let me see my own end. These people down there, they want meat, and there ain't a Chick-fil-A to be found. Now, we got to do something about this because I can't handle this. How am I supposed to feed all these people? How am I supposed to care for all these people? He never knew it before. That's why Jesus, he just go to the mountain. I'll see y'all. They said, we're going to make you king. All right. We want to appoint you a bishop. Oh, okay, see, I'm going up a mountain. He figured he'd stay up there all night. By the time he came down, they were either asleep or home. He could do great miracles after the people were gone. Don't you get it? That we have the wrong people in our lives. The complainers, the naysayers, the folks who always speak negatively. I don't know why we got to be doing this. Ain't nothing wrong with the building we got. Said the person who just got a new car and there was nothing wrong with the one they traded in. Said the person who just had a new spouse and there was nothing wrong with the one you divorced. I just need somebody else. I just need something else in my life. Praise God. Anybody can apply the principle of speech. He said, anybody, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his mind or in his reasoning. The King James translate this word heart, and immediately we go to the muscle. But this doesn't think. this doesn't feel. This is a muscle that pumps blood. That's all it does. That's all it does. So here, this word, whenever we see this in the New Testament, in this context, what he's saying is, if you don't doubt it in your reasoning or in the center of your understanding, which is your unconscious mind. What he's saying is you should not look at something, speak to it, and then wonder how it's going to be done by drawing reference on previous negative things that usually start or end in the phrase, I tried that before and it didn't work. At that moment, that mountain's not going anywhere. But if you have small victories, you can refer to those small victories like David. Today, I'm going to take your head off you. How are you going to take my head off? Well, I was watching over my dad's sheep, and a lion and a bear came out to snatch one. And I went after them. And he rose up against me, and I killed both of them. And the same God that enabled me to kill the lion and the bear is going to enable me to kill you, you uncircumcised Philistine. Now, I love the fact that David said, I'm going to take your head off, and he said it without a sword. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper, but I'm going to take the weapon that was designed to hurt me and turn it around on the enemy that sent it. I'm going to take your sword, and I'm going to take your head off. Man, that's some bad mama jamma. I'm going to take your sword and cut your head off. He says, now here's the difficult part. He said, but they shall believe. See the difference between faith and belief. What should you strive for? Watch, the Bible tells you in Romans chapter 10, what comes by hearing the word of God. Right. But where does belief come from? They're different. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Belief comes from your unconscious mind. Watch. How many of you, before you sat down in the chairs in this auditorium, you sat down, how many of you did this? No, you just came in and... Did anybody test the chair before they sat down? Okay, but what if you come in next week and you come into church and you find somebody who sits in a chair and when they sit, it just collapses? It just collapses under them. And then the next time you come in, what do you think you're going to do? Why? Because in your unconscious mind, you remember that person's chair collapsing. And you think the possibility for failure rests with your chair. So now your whole mindset has changed. You now test it. Somebody say, why are you doing that? Because last week, Brother Joe fell on that chair. And I don't want to be embarrassed. But until you have a point of reference, you believe those chairs can hold your weight. Has God ever failed anybody? How do you know? How do you know? You're just saying it because it's God. If you have no point of reference with failure in God, then why can't you believe everything he says? Now, I'm like the Apostle Paul. Forgive my entrance into a supernatural statement of irony. You actually believe God. You actually believe that God will supply your need. You actually believe that. Really believe that. Then when offering time comes, give every dime you have in the offering. Watch. How much money you got in your pocket? You got 12 bucks. I need all 12 bucks, and I'm going to give it back to you tomorrow. Now watch. Without hesitation, he reaches to give me the 12 bucks. You don't have to, son. That's good. But without hesitation, he reaches to give it. Why? He knows me. He knows my character, and I've never lied to him. So he gave me everything in his pocket. You say you believe God, but you won't give him everything in yours. Because you really don't believe he can take care of you unless you have it. And there's no shame in saying it. You need to rationalize it. You really don't believe that God can care for you because you won't give it to him. You give him what you can afford because you don't believe that he can do greater. Because it's in your mind. You've been broke before. And you ain't going to be broke no more. And God's just going to have to understand this. So he can take this dollar. And Pastor Lambert, bet not get up and talk about that building plan again. Because the next time they bring that plate past me, they're going to come up short. I mean, let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. God starts with a tenth. He asks for a tenth. We rationalize it. We are enthralled by people who say, the tithe ain't in the New Testament. Whew, I'm off the hook. Whew, praise God, I ain't got to give him no tenth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, God is sitting in heaven, feeding your life everything it needs to be successful. He kept your heart beating all night, kept your arteries clear, your eyes functioning, your joints are moving, you're not debilitated, you're not in the ER. And he says, I've done all this for you. I didn't charge you anything. You go to a restaurant, they put on the bill how much the tip should be, and you leave it. You go to the movie to see the Black Panther, to see the Avengers, to see Jurassic something. I know where you live. And pay $12. Then $375 for popcorn. $950 for a hot dog. $1,247 for a cheeseburger and fries. And then get a Diet Coke. Walk out that movie needing to borrow money to pay your mortgage. Because I'm going to have me a good time. I'm going to have me, listen, I need me some time for, you know, reflection and I need decompression. Hallelujah. But what if you have a massive heart attack in the movie? Who are you going to call? Not the actor on the screen. Nobody ever grabbed their chest and said, Kevin Costner! Denzel! No, you said, Jesus! And wouldn't it be funny if he said, that's not my table? Wouldn't it be funny? I mean, that's what the Proverbs teaches. Proverbs 1. He said, the day is going to come when you call for me and I'm going to mock you. That means you're going to go, help me, God. He's going to say, help me, God. Help me, God. That'd be funny, wouldn't it? You're down there in prayer, Father, help me. He said, help me, help me. Because when I called, you didn't come. And when I reached out to bless you, you spit in my face. Now you want me to help you. I ain't doing it. That's what Proverbs chapter 1 says. Oh, glory to God. Listen to what he says. What is belief? Belief is convinced. Being convinced. Being convinced. How much is one and one?
Two.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Why? Somebody told you. Somebody told you when you were in kindergarten. If those same teachers had told you that one and one was 13, you'd go around saying one and one is 13. Because somebody told you. What's X3 plus Y2? If a train leaves Chicago heading to Philadelphia, at 90 miles an hour, and a train leaves New York heading to Philadelphia at 60 miles an hour, what speed will they be going when they crash? No speed. Oh, you a teacher. See, I can't fool you. No speed. Because they crash. But we believe. In our faith clinic, I asked the question. I said, tell me something you don't like. And one of the participants said, I don't like math. I said, why? They said, because it's hard. I said, math is not hard. You believe it's hard. You make a generalization over a specific. Because there are other people that don't think math is hard. But it becomes hard to you. So you believe unilaterally it's hard because it's hard to you. Doesn't make it hard, but it's hard to you. I can't go to Bible school. Why? Because it's too hard. No, it's hard to you. And the way that I know it's not hard is that there are other people who graduate. What you have to do is get over that reasoning. You have to retrain yourself. And that is the struggle of your Christianity. It is not getting victory over demons. Demons will fall off you when you learn how to walk in power. Demons will leave you alone when you learn that you are placed over them. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time with demons. You just rebuke them. Jesus only had a couple of encounters with demons, and he didn't go into a back and forth. You coming out? No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You heard what I said, devil. No. He says, shut up. Hold your peace, the King James said. Shut up and come out. And the Bible said they came out. Why do we spend all day arguing with the devil, even to the point where he interrupts our prayer? We can be getting it on with God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. You are a good God. You walked with me. You healed me. You blessed me. Hallelujah. Now Satan, the Lord, rebukes you. How he get in there? How are you going to stop loving God and talk to the devil? He has that much power that he has interrupted your conversation with God. Talk to him outside of prayer. After you get your power surge, after you get your connection with God, then go out and tell the devil, now back off. I just been with God. You can't touch me.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6418.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The Jesus in Me Children's Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church is hosting the Arise Children Family Conference. The pre-conference kickoff celebration will be held on Friday, September 14th at 7 p.m. Come to be inspired through singing, dancing, words of encouragement, and a children's fashion show. On Saturday, beginning at 9 a.m., there will be creative and informative workshops for parents and kids ages 3 through 12. The closeout family fellowship service will take place Sunday at 11:30 a.m. with a special message from children's pastor Wayne Diggs. All events and services will be held at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. To register online, visit the event page at BethelDeliverance.org. You can also register at Bethel's Administrative Building Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., or call 215-885-2585 for more information. That's 215-885-2585. So come out to build up your children while strengthening your family.